Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you speak together with me the title of this morning's sermon, Standing on the Rock, based on our gospel reading just read to you from Luke 17, this verse. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I invite you all here to turn on the worship folder, turn to the back of that folder and find there the sermon outline. You can follow along that outline as we consider our theme together, Standing on the Rock. Well, it was in the very first year when I was a brand new pastor. It was September in 1979 in Dayton, Ohio. And I was going to make my first hospital visit as a new pastor right out of seminary. I was calling upon the mother of one of our church members, this grandmother. She wasn't a member of our congregation, but she needed pastoral care. When I opened the door and walked into the reception area of St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Dayton, Ohio, I found out that this dear woman was in a special ward. She was in a psychiatric ward. And when I went to this psychiatric ward for the first time in my life, I entered in a padded room, what some have called a rubber room. And when I met this dear woman, she was in a straitjacket for her own protection. This dear woman had had a mental breakdown and was very confused and upset. And the reason was because she had been taught some terrible theology and terrible false teachings about what faith is really all about. She was taught by some charlatans that if you have enough faith, you can do anything. If you have enough faith, you can get anything you desire. She had a little grandson who was very ill. But she was taught by these shenanigan folks that if she prayed hard enough and believed hard enough, it depended on her, her grandson would be healed. The little boy died. And she was in this state of confusion because somehow she had convinced herself it was because of her. Because she didn't have enough faith that her grandson had passed away. In the long run, thank God, she did recover. And she steered clear from such false and dangerous teachings. Have faith. Keep the faith. Don't lose faith. I need more faith. How many times have you heard or even spoken these very words in different circumstances? In today's gospel reading from Luke 17, the disciples of our dear Lord Jesus have a simple request. They come to Jesus and say, Lord, increase our faith. In another passage in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Now note, at first glance, and that phrase is very important, at first glance, these passages seem to declare, look what you can do. It all depends on you. You better work on your faith. But a deeper study of the entire witness of Holy Scripture tells us completely the opposite truth. The witness of Holy Scripture is this: we do not depend on our faith. We depend on the object of our faith. What our faith is in, who our faith is in, and our faith is in no one less than Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the rock upon which we stand. We don't stand on the shifting sands of our faith. that is good today and bad tomorrow. We feel good today because it's sunshining, and golly sakes, tomorrow on my one day off, it's supposed to rain. Poor baby. Our faith is not in the strength of our faith or how good that we feel. We are standing upon the rock. Jesus, the rock of ages, of whom it said in the book of Hebrews, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faith is not our good deed, not our good work, not our wishful thinking. Faith is simply this. Are you listening? Faith is simply recognizing that God is at work, resting in His care, trusting in His promise. In John chapter 9, after Jesus heals a blind man, this blind man declares, "Lord, I believe." Now, the account clearly tells us that Jesus didn't say to him, "Show me your faith. Show me how strong your faith is, and then maybe I'll heal you." No. Jesus came to him. Jesus loved him. Jesus healed him. And by the words and deeds of our Lord Jesus Christ, faith was created in this man's heart as a gift. This healed man did not jump up and down and tell others, "My faith healed me. My faith healed me." No, the text says in verse 30, he began to tell all the people, "Jesus opened my eyes." Please listen once again to the very heart and theme of today's sermon. What is important is not the strength of our faith, but the object of our faith. What our faith is in, who our faith is in, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me ask you, did your faith die on the cross to forgive you your sins? Did your faith rise from the grave on Easter Sunday to give you victory over life, death, and eternity? No, of course not. The focus of our faith is always away from ourselves and toward our Lord Jesus. The focus of faith is not upon what I must strive to do, but instead what I humbly receive. Just consider the amazing thing that happened just here moments ago in the baptism of dear little Adeline Violet Johnson. Her loving Lord reached down. He washed away her sins. He adopted her into His heavenly family. He declared Himself to be her heavenly Father. He promised to strengthen mom and dad, to raise her in that Christian faith as they turn to Him for His care. Why did He do such amazing things? Was it because of Adeline's faith? Was it because of her fervent trust? Was it because she proved herself worthy of her love, of His love? Of course not. She couldn't do any of these things. The only thing that Adeline can do is the same thing every baby can do. Cry. Keep mom and dad up at night, demand food and attention, and make obnoxious smells and diapers. The miracle of Adeline's baptism and the miracle of every baptism is this: it is God's gift. It is God's mercy. It is God's promise. We simply receive His gifts in humble faith. In Acts 2, chapter 39, there are some important words, and Dan and Lindsay really listen to these words. Our Lord says in Acts 2, 39, "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, for the promise is for you and your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord calls." Our focus is not on our worthiness or the strength of our faith, but upon God's gift and promise. This is true regarding the sacrament of baptism, but aha! It's also true today in the second sacrament we celebrate today, the Holy Communion. For the believer who has been instructed and kneels at this altar, they come to receive from God in humble faith, to receive from God a gift that is precious beyond words. Jesus, our Lord, tells us in the Holy Gospels that with their bread and wine, we also receive his true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. With the bread and wine we receive, as he promises in Matthew 26. Here are the words of Jesus. You'll hear me say them again in just a moment. He says, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Jesus' word of promise makes this bread and wine his body and blood. Jesus' word of promise connected to this bread and wine delivers what it promises to deliver, the forgiveness of sins. Our faith does not make this sacrament. Our faith does not push forgiveness into this sacrament. The strength of our faith does not increase the gift in this sacrament. We simply kneel at this altar, kneel humbly and with repentant hearts to receive what is offered here. For any who come to this altar today, whether to receive Holy Communion or receive a blessing from God, it would be good for each of us to speak to ourselves. The third verse of that hymn, Rock of Ages, it goes like this: "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Our faith is in Jesus, the Rock of Ages. We are standing only on the rock. Faith in ourselves, faith in our faithless, in our faith only leads us to faithlessness. Just ask Peter. Peter's name means rock. Of all the disciples, he was especially close to Jesus. And Peter did some amazing things as an apostle of the Lord, but evidently Peter got a little too full of himself, a little too full of Peter. On the night before Jesus went to the cross, boastful Peter declared, I read from you Matthew 26, "Jesus, even if I have to die for you, I will never deny you." Have you ever done that? Have you ever said that you will always remain faithful to your Lord? How about at the day of your confirmation? Those of you who are here today that have had confirmation instruction and recall that Sunday you were confirmed and received your first communion, you remember that day you made a promise. You promised to be faithful and to Jesus and to his church no matter what, to the point of death. Let me ask you, how's that promise working out for you? I look around here today and I wonder, where are all those who made that promise in years past? But lest we point fingers, we must remember one finger pointed at somebody brings three back, right at myself. Each of us here today has to ask the question, Lord, help me look into my own heart and see that faith in myself and faith in my promises doesn't work. Jesus told Peter his boastful promise wouldn't work. On the very next day, before the morning rooster crowed, Peter denied Jesus not once, but three times. Peter the rock became Peter the dust. My friends, the truth is, we're not that strong. Our faith isn't strong and perfect. Faith in ourselves leads us to faithfulness. But here's the good news. Richard, you have a strong Savior. Fern, you have an everlasting rock. Jesus is the Rock of Ages. And by faith, we are standing on Him who is the Rock. Jesus forgave Peter. Jesus restored Peter. And after His resurrection, guess who Jesus made to be the leader of the new Christian church? Peter. By Jesus' gift of forgiveness and faith, Peter became the rock man once again. In today's reading from Luke 17, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." And Jesus did just that. Please understand that the Bible teaches us faith is always a gift from God. We cannot create faith in our hearts. We cannot try harder to trust God. Faith is a gift that God gives us when we hear His word and receive His gifts. Romans 10:17 says this, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, so no one can boast." What a wonderful promise is given to us in Luther's Small Catechism. As he explains a portion of the Apostles' Creed, look at the screen now. Look what Luther's explanation to a portion of the Apostles' Creed that we confessed at the baptism says. I want you to read these words with me. "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified me, and kept me in the true faith. This is most certainly true. The faith that we have and are remaining in the faith is God's doing. It's not our doing." Now, as we said at the beginning of our sermon, with the sad story about the grandmother in the hospital, the idea of faith is often misunderstood. Even the word faith is misunderstood. Would you take a look at your sermon outline now, near the end? We're going to talk about the three definitions of the word faith. This is how we'll end our sermon. It's on your outline. First of all, in terms of faith, it said that a person believes something. That is, a person has factual knowledge in their head about something. For example, you might say, "I believe it rains a little bit here on the West Coast." Duh. But many people claim this same kind of factual head knowledge about God. They will say, "Oh, I believe in God." What they mean to say is, "I acknowledge that God exists. I acknowledge He exists, but I really don't worship Him or trust Him." There are likely some folks like this here today. There were in biblical days. And in James 2, verse 19, James has him really penetrating words. Listen to these words. James says, "You believe that there's one God, that is, you acknowledge that God exists. Good. Even the demons so believe, and they tremble." Did you catch it? Even the devil and the demons acknowledge the existence of God, but such head knowledge that doesn't travel 18 inches to the heart is not saving faith. Such knowledge that simply God exists, says James, can cause us to fear and tremble. Second of all, look at your outline. It said that sometimes people don't just believe something, they believe in something. That is, they value something. Like you might say, "I believe in Canada," or "I believe in motherhood." But that also is not what the Bible means by saving faith. Which brings us to meaning number three. The biblical meaning of faith is that a person believes on something. That is, a person trusts and entrusts themselves to someone or something. the object of their faith. Acts 16:31 says this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household." This is no mere intellectual assent or head knowledge. This is not just some sweet sentiment like "I value motherhood." This is a humble but strong trust, and an entrusting of oneself to the Lord of life and death and eternity. And we cannot even take credit for such faith. It's God's gift. Hymn 576 in our hymn book says it quite well: "My hope is built on nothing less." Would you turn your attention to the screen and read these words? It says the same thing we've been talking about. Read it with me, please. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." There is a little but powerful word that ends almost every hymn, but certainly that ends every prayer. That little word is the word "Amen." Amen comes from a Hebrew word which means faithful, or can be counted on, or rock solid. Like we learned in the children's message this morning, when we say "Amen," it's a statement of faith that God can be trusted, that God can be counted on, that He is solid like a rock. So when we end a hymn, or a prayer, or a sermon with the words, "In Jesus' name, Amen," we are saying that Jesus is our rock, and that our faith is nothing less than standing on the rock. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? In the name of Jesus, who is our rock. Amen.